My name is Reuven Levy. We're learning the book of Rav Shalom Arush, the Gan HaShalom, the Garden of Peace. We're in the second chapter. We've been discussing the fundamental principle of never to criticize a wife. The page is 45. We're up to page 45 in the Hebrew version.
Oh, I want it.
And there are many different reasons given in the chapter for not criticizing a wife. One of the central reasons we learned was that our wife is simply a mirror, and there's no point in arguing with the mirror. We need to look at ourselves. If we see a problem, the problem is simply a reflection of ourselves. It's simply a message that Hashem is giving us via our wife. Now, Rav Arush brings us a further reason never to criticize our wife. And here he brings a piece from Likutei Moran. Likutei Moran is Rav Nachman's main work, written by Rav Natan. Rav Nachman's main work, discussing many different areas. One of the areas the Rav Arush now brings as follows. Siba nosefet, in the paragraph headed, criticism weakens. Siba nosefet, an additional reason. Shemisha no ra'ui lo hochia, person who is not fitting to rebuke. Asur lo b'shum panim, it's forbidden for him on any account. V'ofen la'ir ha'ot livnei adam, on no account is he able to give criticism to a person. V'kal v'chom alishto, and all the more so to his wife. K'mo shekatuv b'sefer Likutei Moran, like it's written in the book Likutei Moran.
I'm learning chapter 56 in the Likutei Moran. It seems to say the opposite, that everyone is has dominion on a man would have dominion on his family, a rav on his community, and finally you have the tzaddik who has dominion on, but it says there, you have to give the father. That's one of the bigger responsibilities of that memshal.
It says you have to give. How does it describe? 56.
Yeah. Or is that, you know, I get confused, that or okay, because the piece we're learning is on 56.
Okay, so let's, Zat Hashem, look at it in the meantime, but Zat Hashem, we'll try and answer it tomorrow. Okay, Yofi, so what are we saying here? We're saying that a person who is not fitting to give rebuke should not rebuke. A person who's not fitting to give rebuke.
He's not fitting.
A person who's not fitting, he's not allowed to rebuke. He's going to cause more damage than he is good. And we're going to explain now further by bringing a piece from Likutei Moran where he discusses this concept of a person who's not fitting to give rebuke and what happens if he does try to rebuke. Afal pisha tochacha hu dvar gadol. Even though rebuke, tochacha, is a great thing, umatal al kol echad miYisrael lehochiyat echareiwa, and it is actually obligated to each, to a Jew, to rebuke his brother, his friend, when he sees that his friend is not acting appropriately, he's making a veiwot, he's not keeping talacha. We have an obligation to put our friend on the right track, to not let him stumble, to look after him. Like it's written in the Torah, Kedusha. You shall surely rebuke reprove your nation, right? Which is the commandment on each Jew to actually tell his friend if he's doing something wrong. Even though it says that, not everyone is able, is fitting to give that rebuke. Like Rabbi Akiva says in the Gemara, I would be very surprised, says Rabbi Akiva, if there's anyone in this generation that is able to give rebuke. But if Rabbi Akiva amazo, and if Rabbi Akiva said that, in his generation, all the more so, says Rabbi Nachman, in our generation. Right? Rabbi Akiva was a huge Tana. He lived in a generation of Tanaim that could revive the dead, that we have no idea of how great they were. And Rabbi Akiva says he's surprised if anyone in his generation, anyone, doesn't, not talking about the low people, talking about anyone in his generation, his colleagues, his Tanaim colleagues, great rabbis, no one in that generation can give rebuke, all the more so, said Rabbi Nachman, in our generation. Because when a person who's not fitting to give rebuke, it's not enough. It's not only that his rebuke won't actually be helpful, right? It's one thing that if a person's not fitting to give rebuke, then for sure what they're going to say is not going to help. But not only that it's not going to help, Afgam huma vishreach shel haneshamot hashomim tochachto. He also creates what Rav Nachman describes as a bad smell, foul odor. We're going to explain that a little bit more in a minute. This creates a foul odor in the neshama, in the soul of the person who he is giving rebuke to. Why? Ki al yedei tochachto, because through his rebuke, hu ma'oreh hareach ra, he awakens a bad smell, shel hama'asim ra'im, of the bad deeds, umidot ra'ot, and of the bad characters, shel anashim shehu mochichem, of the people who he is rebuking. Right, when a person rebukes someone else, and he doesn't do it properly, he causes damage. How does he cause damage? So in a spiritual way, he causes spiritual damage to that person. How? So the mashal, the explanation, is given in the form of a mashal of a bad smell. You awaken a bad smell in the other person, the bad smell of their soul. What is a bad smell? It's the smell of the deeds, bad deeds. Said about Moshiach, that Moshiach will judge people by their smell. The power of smell is the most keen of all senses, of all the senses, sight, sound, taste and touch. Smell is actually the strongest. We don't notice it because we smell very few things and we ignore them. They don't mean anything to us because our ability to discern between them is not very high. But actually, if you look at the technical chemical mechanics of what we're doing, we're actually able to identify one part in billions of a certain chemical. We can actually pick that up in our smell. It's actually extremely fine, right? And it's not a coincidence that's the case. The power of smell, you see that there are other animals, dogs, for example, that can smell out drugs within a suitcase or gunpowder, etc. Right? They have a very keen sense of smell. They can smell out people within the rubble, right? Mashiach will use that smell to be, and his sense of smell is so refined that he can pick up a person's bad deeds. Knows exactly what a person is through their smell. It's an amazing concept. Right? And here we're talking about the same idea. There is a smell that a person has, and by rebuking them, we awaken that bad smell. He gives a mashal here, Rav Nachman in Likutei Moran. What's the example? Kmo shemunach eizeh dvar, like shemunach eizeh dvar, sheyesh bo reyach sheino tov. Like you have something that's resting that has a bad smell. Right, let's take a garbage can. Right, a can of garbage that has accumulated garbage over the course of a few days, hot weather, it actually smells pretty bad. Kol zman she'eino mazizin oto hadavar, the whole time that you don't move it, ein margishin hareach ra, you don't actually notice that it's really bad smell. Aval kishematchilin laziz oto, but when you start to move it, azaim olin hareach ra, then you waken up the bad smell. Right? Just like in practice, the physical world is always simply a mashal, a reflection of the spiritual world, to teach us about the spiritual world, everything. Even the garbage can is teaching us about what's going on in the spiritual world. And just like a garbage can has a bad smell, but if you leave it alone, it settles and the smell doesn't waken up. As soon as you move it, you shake it up, you waken up the, if you like, the smell particles, and they rise into the air, suddenly it stinks. It says, so too, the rebuke of a person. A person who does not rebuke correctly, it's going to say later, the person who does rebuke correctly doesn't wake up the bad smell. But the person who rebukes incorrectly, who's not fitting to rebuke, and then does rebuke, he wakens the bad smell of those deeds. And the person's neshama starts to give off a bad smell. We can't pick it up, because we're not tuned into it. It doesn't mean it's not happening. That's what happens. And what's... That's not it. It's not only that. So, okay, so fine. So what? It created a bad smell, so that's such a bad thing. So we're going to see also why that's a bad thing. K'mochen, he explains, Ayutei tochocha, mi she'eino ra'u li'achiyah, through rebuke of a person who's not fitting to rebuke, Ayidei zeh, through this, mazizin umorin ha'reach ra shel ha'masim ra'im, he wakens up the bad smell of the bad deeds, umidot ra'ot, and the bad characteristics, shel ha'anashim shemochichin, of the person who is rebuking, right? He's bringing to light their bad deeds, he's mentioning them, he's calling them out, he's bringing attention. You know what you did wrong, right? That's what rebuke is. Rebuke is saying out loud, identifying those bad things, right? And we know, just as a side point, that one of the most powerful lessons that Rav Nachman gives in the whole of Likutei Moran is Reish Pei Bet, Torah Reish Pei Bet, Zamra, finding the good points within a person, that the ability and the power of a person who finds the good points within his friend raises that person up and actually causes that person to do teshuvah and come back to God just by finding the good points in him. We see it's the same idea that works with positive and the negative. If I find the good points in someone, that has a great spiritual effect. It raises them up. It creates a reality. So too when a person finds the bad. When you go to rebuke your friend, you're finding the bad, you're pointing out the bad things. That also has a reality. And if you don't do it properly, you get the reverse. Right? Al-kein hu mavish reicham, therefore he stares up there, this bad smell. Al-yidezeh hu machlish et hanashamot shalahem. And Rav Nachman teaches us that through this, he weakens their neshama. Raising up the bad smell in a person's neshama weakens their neshama. And because of this, it cuts off the shefa, the abundance, the goodness that's flowing down from Shamayim, from all the worlds, that depend on that neshama. Not only his neshama is cut off, the person who you're rebuking, but all those people who are dependent on him. We have a situation where, like you were mentioning, that each person actually has people who are dependent on him, whether he realizes it or not. Sometimes it's obvious, like a Rebbe has students, and then it's obvious, or a father has children, so people who are dependent upon him. So it's clear in those sorts of situations. But we also see in other circumstances that people are actually dependent on other people spiritually through the roots of their souls. It happens that way. I get a certain amount of life force through my father, through my Rebbe, but through other people too. And if it happens, for example, let's say my Rebbe, who I get a lot of spiritual shefa from, let's say that morning someone who's inappropriate to rebuke him comes along and rebukes him and tells him that he's doing wrong, he's not being a good person, he's not teaching right, whatever the rebuke is. And that rebuke wakens up a bad smell against the Rebbe, chas v'shalom. That weakens the Rebbe's soul. And as a result, weakens my soul too, because my shefa is coming down through him. Right? He's part of the pipe through which I receive my shefa. So all the neshamot that are also dependent upon him, upon that, so also get weakened as a result of this reach ra, the neshama, which is awakened, the bad deeds upon it through rebuke from a person that's not appropriate to give rebuke.
Question.
If that also happens before Sahar
Shemra? If that also happens, okay. If the rebuke is a lie.
Is a lie?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think not. I don't know, he doesn't talk about it here, and I'm just giving my own opinion on the matter, but
that I don't think the worst kind of
I don't think a person can. Here we're talking about waking the rebuke of a person's bad deeds. You're pointing out that he did bad. But if I say something that you didn't do, right,
yeah,
I say,
that's not awakening
then
it.
There's nothing to awaken.
Yeah.
Right? There's no. Effectively, what's happening is we know that the in Shamayim, right, there's the good angels and the bad angels. Clearly, those that are for the advocate, for the person and against him. And in order to have the process of emet, of justice, so we know that Hashem has to abide by justice, which is why there is something called a kitruga, angels that argue that Hashem, you need to punish this person, chas v'shalom, he did wrong. And Hashem has to listen to it, weigh up. Hashem can then choose to act with mercy and change the decree. But the truth is, if a person did wrong, there are angels that will stand up and say, look, there's a Torah, there is a consequence. And if a person acts in this way, there has to be a consequence. Hashem, you wrote it, it's your Torah, you have to act. And then a good angel will mitigate and say, no, he didn't understand, he didn't know the law properly, have mercy upon him, he forgot, whatever. And so when a person speaks badly, comes to rebuke and says, you realize, you know what you just did? You know that you just ate a cheeseburger, right? So he's awakening up. The angels are saying, no, Hashem, you've got to do something about it, right? And there's a whole big stink that's created. But when things are let lie, maybe there's an aspect of that too that's going on here. Ki ika yinikat neshama humeareach, because the main way that a neshama receives its sustenance is through reach, through smell. Right? Rav Nachman is continuing to explain Likutei Moran. K'mo shamru avoteinu zichronah livracha, like Chazal said, minayin shemevarachim al hareach, how do we know that we make a bracha on smell? Shne'emar, like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, kol haneshamata halalya. All the neshama will praise Hashem. Eizehu devar she'enem haneshama ne'enet mimenu v'lo aguf. What is that thing which the neshama enjoys from it and the body doesn't? Havei omer, you must say, ze'areach, that smell. A smell we learn out from the Gemara, Brachot, the smell is something which the neshama enjoys and that the body doesn't. It's a very holy thing. Al-Kain, Ayudezem, right, so what are we learning there? Therefore we see from here that the smell is what gives life to the neshama. Right, that's why on Yom Kippur, right, in many places they hand out snuff. Mm-hmm. Right, and the smell revives you. But it's not for the goof, which is why you're allowed to have it. It's not an enjoyment for the goof. We know on Yom Kippur that we don't allow things for the goof. We don't allow eating, we don't allow washing, we don't allow wearing leather shoes, right? All being with your wife, all things for the goof are not allowed. Right? You switch your goof off and we work on just on a shama, right? But we are allowed, and it's quite surprising, to smell snuff. Why? Because it's not a goof thing. It's just an neshama. And your goof's not enjoying that. And that we learn from there that this is actually the way that the goof gets its life. Al-Kain al-Yudezem o'chiyach she'hu ma'vish reicham. Therefore, we see from the person who rebukes when he causes the bad smell, al-Yudezem nechlechshet ha'neshama. Through this, it weakens the neshama. Just like that snuff, which has a nice smell of mint or of whatever they put in it. I don't know what they put in it. Right, but it wakens it up. So if that person gave you, chas v'shalom, something really nasty to smell, that would weaken your neshama. Yeah? So too spiritually, that's what's happening. Sheyinakata me'areach kana, that it feeds from the smell. And we may learn, nifsak ha-shef ha-mikol ha-lamot ha-tulim bahem. And therefore, also those neshamat, also those souls which are reliant on that neshama, those two are also cut off from their abundance, from their shefa. Aval, but, kishamachiyah, ra'ui lahachiyah. But when a person is fitting to give rebuke, azayad rabah, then on the contrary, humosif, v'noten re'ach tov, he actually adds and gives a good smell. Bahanashamot, in those neshamot, al yidei tochacho, through his rebuke. Ki atochacha tzricha liot bechinat atochacha shel Moshe. Because rebuke needs to be the aspect of the tochacha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he rebuked Am Yisrael, that's how you need to rebuke. If you're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yofi, you know how to rebuke. To us, I don't know, it sounds the same. Maybe. But that's because we don't know how to rebuke. Rabbi Akiva said, they're Tanayim and they didn't know how to rebuke properly. There is such a thing, which is why the Torah says, should know there is an obligation to rebuke. A person who knows how to rebuke should rebuke. Why? Because he actually, through his rebuke, he lifts the person up. He causes them to want to do teshuvah. He causes them to, right? Rav Arish writes that a person shouldn't give rebuke. And he brings Lukatei Moran. However, the great Rebbe is now out to rebuke. The great Rebbe still give rebuke. Rav Arish himself, if I'm not speaking out of turn, Fat Hashem, I'm not saying anything negative, Hasb Shalom. He also knows how to give rebuke. Right? The person who goes to Rav Shalom for a brocha knows that he's going to get a potch. He's going to get a potch on the side of his face. Right? But that potch is with love. Mamash, it's a rebuke, but it's a rebuke out of love. Right? Why? It takes away the sting. It takes away the sting of a person's bad deeds. Right? We know there were situations where stories are told. Actually happened to a friend of mine. A friend of mine was at the Kotel. He's down at the Kotel a few years back. And he saw a big gadol. Didn't tell me which one, because he thought that what he was about to tell me was negative. I realized it wasn't. It was very positive. But what he told me was he saw this great, and he went over to get a brocha from this great gadol that he zocher to see at the Kotel. And when he went over to him, to Kavod HaRav, the Rav laid into him, was cursing him and giving him.
He never knew this.
Never did. He said, "You know, you're not acting properly." Gave him a whole big rebuke. The Gadol of Am Yisrael, and he doesn't even know me, and he's giving me a rebuke. So, Baruch Hashem, that he came and told me, and I knew a little bit of Rav Nachman. I told him, you know what you just got? You got a bracha. You got a huge bracha. Why? Because there's an inyan as follows. The Gadolim, they can see things we can't see. Right? It's known that the Gadolim can see if Melech HaMavet, the angel of death, is hanging over a person. Right? Gadolim can see that. How do you remove the angel of death? By killing a person. So he doesn't need to do his job. You kill a person, the Chazal say, you kill a person by rebuking him in public. You rebuke a person in public. Here we're not talking about public, we're just talking about rebuking your wife. In public is a whole different story. When you rebuke a person in public, it's as if you killed them.
Right.
You're chayav mita. You're a person in chayav mita, as if you killed them. Amash, right? And this is exactly what the Gadol did. He rebuked him in public. Why? In order to remove the Melech HaMavet from him. He saw upon him the Melech HaMavet. Chas v'shalom. Right? And through his rebuke, he's now wiped it all away. Yeah, he was crying. Yeah, he was crying. He was in front of a god, yeah, a gadol, and he just stood there like open mouth.
No, he opened his mouth.
I didn't know what to say. He walked away.
What is that?
If you
I have a new person. Now he's starting back. So you was for nothing.
The whole, it's possible that he might lose some of the value.
He still
wiped away some of his sin. He suffered. Any suffering that a person has wipes away some sin.
But he not suffering.
He does suffer,
because
for sure. For sure.
He
still fights with you. He still suffered. If I rebuke you and you shout, you argue back with me, you didn't suffer? Of course you suffered. You suffered. Not as much. If you would have stayed quiet, you would have cleansed off everything. But you still cleaned. You still cleaned the amount of suffering. The amount of suffering that you took, any suffering, the Gemara says, a person puts his hands in his pocket to take out I'll use the modern day language, a 50 shekel note, and he takes out a 20 shekel note. He uses the coin, the Gemara uses the coinage of their day, right? If he takes out the wrong coin, that's considered suffering which removes sins. Any suffering whatsoever that a person undergoes removes sins. Kol shechen, the more so the person gets rebuked. That's really unpleasant. Even if I argue. If I keep quiet, it's much better for me because I remove, I'm like, I get a free, right? So, our Rabbanim, Bezrat Hashem, the greatest thing for a person, person's only receiving any rebuke, it's the best thing. It's mamash the best thing. Right? Even if you happen to be on the end of rebuke from a person who's not worthy, for sure they did wrong. It's not appropriate what they did, and they've got a cheshbon that they need to deal with Hashem one-on-one and sort that out. However, for me that receives a rebuke, that's a big gift. Particularly if I stay quiet, even more so that I stay quiet. By a person who hears a rebuke, we learn in Torah Vav of Rav Nachman, on the essence of teshuva is to hear your own rebuke and to stay quiet. Then you get cleaned the gamre. Right, you get cleaned up.
But how is it? It's a decree of a person. Yeah?
How's the
decree?
Yeah.
Of a person. Now, so the other person come now, Hashem put him in the way, rebuke him.
Okay.
And now he's not quiet. The other person, he can be rebuked. So he's not past the first.
So everyone has free choice. Everyone has free choice. Hashem gave him the opportunity to clean off all his sins. He didn't take the opportunity because either he didn't know, he didn't understand, his Yetzirah is too much. Whatever reason.
He did not pass the test.
He didn't merit to get the gift. Let's say he didn't merit to get the gift. He had a gift, right? And we know that we have gifts given to us all the time. We know that Rav Nachman writes elsewhere, the person, just before they're about to get a lot of money, Hashem tests them with anger. And if they get angry, they lose the money. So they were tested too with a gift. You were tested to see if you were going to get angry, and you didn't get angry. And if you did get angry, so you fell, you didn't get the gift.
So maybe your life is not. Let's say Rami Nachman, when he was traveling to Israel, you get big tests.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
But he now, he's a, when he, there was a din about him.
Okay.
He died.
Okay.
So he passed the test.
Uh-huh.
So when he not, he say something, so he missed it. Maybe he lose his life. So he was,
maybe. Hashem, that's Hashem's cheshbono. Hashem takes everything into account. Hashem does not give us any test which he knows we can't pass. Hashem knows in advance whether or not we're going to pass the test. Right? We don't need to worry about what happens. If we fail, that's also good. It's just giving us a pathway to an even greater, right? The more we fall, the greater we're gonna rise to afterwards. Person who stumbles a little bit can only go up a little bit, right? If my growth curve is like this, fall a little bit, then I go up a bit, fall a bit, go up a bit, fall a bit. Tough. The amount I fall is usually the amount I can go up. Right? It's like a person who pulls back an arrow, right? The amount you pull back the bow is the amount you can go forward. So too, if I fall, the greater I fall, the greater I can actually rise. So Bat Hashem will continue tomorrow.